Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
It's quite a privilege to be the person that speaks on the first Sunday of the year, because you've got a sermon already, all right? Because you can talk about the past and you can talk about a new beginning. And I'm not going to miss out on that one, so I'm going to use that. So we say Happy New Year and a new start. And most people at this time of the year will be talking about changing things in their lives. One of the things is going to the gym, which I have done in the past, haven't been very successful. Sorry? Gym. Yeah, I'm going to see Jim. Getting a little bit slimmer again, you know, not overeating, you know, doing the exercises. Not good. Some people may have said, right, this year or last year I was going to get a new job. Didn't happen. Maybe they said, I'm going to get a new car. Didn't happen. Or they want to move home. There's always something that happened. And there may be just some people that just want a new start. So they haven't got anything in particular. They just want a new start. And our first song, it said that we sang, is Come Out of Sorrow. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. And hope for the, and there is also a line in there, hope for the hopeless. And I want us to bring that into our thoughts. And then we also sung, once I was lost, love making me new again, whatever you've done. And that was in one of the songs we sung. So what about our Christian life? How many of you here this morning would like to have a fresh start in your Christian life? Many of us here this morning have made mistakes in our Christian life. We have experienced many setbacks and possibly failures throughout our lives. Sometimes we allow these mistakes, these setbacks and failures to enslave us to the point that we never enjoy the full Christian life that God has given to us to enjoy. And in John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And before Jesus spoke about giving us life, he talks about the devil that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. The devil will remind us of our past in order to keep us from enjoying the life that God gave us to live. The devil doesn't want you to have a fresh start in life. The good news is, God says, I want you to have a fresh start in life. I want you to have a new beginning. I want you to do something. I want to do something new in your life. So can I have the first slide up, please? Just the new start. Pretty good going. Aren't you glad that God wants to do something new in your life? Yeah? Oh, no nodded. Yeah? Are you willing for God to do something new in your life? Okay. Doesn't it make you excited to know that God desires to give you a fresh start, a new beginning in life? Last year, maybe some of you said, I'm going to grow in my relationship with God. Any takers on that one? Some of you may say, I'm going to pray more, read my Bible more, and get more involved in my church. And maybe you said, I'm going to spend more quality time with my family. And the list can go on. The fact is that all of us here has probably not fulfilled those and sort of like made a mistake, or we've made some bad decisions that's hindered us from doing the things that you wanted to do. Did that make sense? Yeah, good. Well, this morning, the good news is, according to Isaiah 43 and verse 18, the Lord says, forget about what's happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new thing I'm going to do. So listen to what God is saying in this verse. Forget about what's happened before. He says, don't think about the past. It's over. The book is closed. Okay? Don't think about it. And what we need to do is to understand that God is far more interested in our future than he is in our past. Does that make sense? That God is far more interested in our future than he is in our past. He says, forget about your past. Forget about the former things. Don't think about it. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. And in the Old Testament, it talks about the people of Israel. And I think they've gone a bit too far. And they sinned and rebelled against God. And maybe they thought God would not deliver them again. It's all over. That is when they begin to remember the former things or past deliverances. Israel could remember past deliverances and past victories. They could remember when they were trapped by the Red Sea and had nowhere to go, how God made a way for them. They could remember all that the enemy was about to overtake them and how he provided protection for them. They could remember the former things, but they couldn't see their future. That is why God said, I'm going to do something new. And maybe that is where you are this morning. Do you feel that you've made so many mistakes, you have failed God so many times, and you have sinned it all away? Now, God doesn't want anything to do, or that God doesn't want anything to do with you. Do you feel that? Do you feel that you've made so many mistakes, that you failed God, and he doesn't want anything to do with you? You feel and believe that you have no future with God? Well, the good news is, God is saying, it's not over. I have plans for your life. I am about to do something new for you. And this morning, I want to share with you how to make a fresh start. Hopefully it will make sense. So I want to share with you a formula for starting over called START. I think that's, is that one of the slides? Can I have the next slide? Right. Yep. So the first thing, and when we look at START, you may have seen it was S.T.A.R.D. That's because I'm going to talk about the things and the letters. So the first letter is S of START. And I know it sounds quite harsh, stop making excuses, but I think in life, I've done this. I keep making excuses for things that I've done and not wanting to stand up for myself and stand up and say, yes, I've made a mistake. So if I want a fresh start in life, I have to stop making excuses for my failures. I've got to stop blaming other people. I've got to stop seeing myself as the victim of my circumstances. Okay? So I have to do something. Other people can hurt us. Other people can harm us. And other people can scar us. But the only person that can ruin your life is you. Nobody can ruin your life without your permission. You have a choice, and that is you can choose how you're going to respond to those hurts. The Bible says that the starting point is to just be honest and accept responsibility for my part in the problem. And Proverbs 28 and verse 13, and this is in the NIV version, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and announces them finds mercy. Another Bible version says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful, but if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. And I think this is where we need to be looking at. He can get, or we can get, a fresh start. He says the starting point is starting over to be honest and to face up to the problems. The most of the problems in my life most of the failures are my fault. They're not anybody else's. They're my fault. And it is hard to get people to admit when they are wrong. I hate to admit when I'm wrong. Don't I, children? Yes, at the back. People do not like to admit things, do they? They don't admit, like to admit that they're wrong in any way. And they think it's weak. But actually, when you look at it, it's actually quite a strong thing to actually admit that you've made a mistake and you want to put that right. No one likes to know that they've blown it. But God says in Proverbs that if we admit the mistake, if we admit our failures, and if we admit our sin, then we get another chance. So S in start stands for stop making excuses. Let's not make an excuse that other people are stopping us. It's us. It's us that stops us from moving on. So to the next slide with number T. Take a record of the account of our lives. And what that means is I need to take a record of my life, okay? I need to evaluate and assess all my experiences. So anything that we've done in the past, we need to look at. We need to assess them and we need to evaluate them. I need to look at what I have left after the failure that I've had or what I've done. I need to record all of my life's experience and learn from them. Galatians 3 and verse 4 says, you have experienced many things where all those experience, were all those experiences wasted? I hope not. And the Living Bible says, you have suffered so much for the gospel, now you are going to throw it all overboard. What that means is that all our experiences that we have in life, all the experiences that are thrown us, what do we take away from those experiences? What do we do with those experiences? We can learn from our mistakes and our failures. Failures can be your friend or your foe. You control if failure will be your friend, or you can control whether your failures will be a foe by the way you react to it. You can choose to learn from the mistakes, or you choose to repeat it. If you learn from it, then it can be a friend. However, if you don't learn from it, it will be your foe. And there are four different kinds of experiences that God uses to shape our lives. And in our lives, he uses our personal experiences. And there's a lot of personal experiences that we've all gone through. The family that we grow up in, the people we're related to, our friends, our social lives. God can use your personal experience with your husband or wife. He uses personal experiences to shape you. And my wife, bless her, she shapes me great. You know, the personal experience that I have with my wife, she's brilliant because she can actually talk to me and give me advice and help me. So I use those experiences. I don't just throw them away. She tells me something, I usually do it, but it's for my own good, bless her. But we use those experiences. And then he uses our vocational and education experience to shape you. So when you've gone through school, college, university, all those experiences he will use in your future. And you can learn and that will shape you for the future. And then he uses your spiritual experience to shape you. Like coming to church, going on a holiday or sort of like a retreat, or reading your Bible and having quiet time. Have you ever experienced that when God has used those experiences, when you've spent time with him, when you've read the Bible, when you've been praying, when you've actually gone out and come to church? Have you not experienced God moving in you? Have you not ever felt that? I know that I have. I know that I've gone to some conferences and I've really felt God moving by the Holy Spirit. And God uses those experiences, and we should use those experiences. They shouldn't just be for that time that you're away. You should build on that and bring it back to the church and build on those experiences and move forward in those experiences and let those experiences grow. And then there are sometimes painful experiences, the hurts that we go through. And I think sometimes we can either wallow in those hurts, or we can use them to give us strength. And that's what I'm saying about whether it's a friend or a foe, because you can actually choose to let them hold you back, or you choose to move forward in them. So as you take a record of your life in starting over, you need to ask yourself sort of like three questions in this. What have I learnt in these experiences? And I know that I've known people for quite a long time. I've known people for 20 years. I've known for a little bit longer, 30 years. But they don't have 20 or 30 years of experience, if you know what I mean. They have the same experiences year after year after year. All right? They've never learned anything new. What have you learned from this past experiences? What have you learned from past experience? What have I learned from our past experience? If you don't sit down and think it through, you'll end up repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again because you didn't learn from it the first time. And I know sometimes I have to do supervisions on people at work, and I have to talk to them on a monthly basis about their work in practice, and I go through it, and sometimes they make the same mistakes month after month until the third month, and then I have to get really serious with them and say, look, you know, we need to buck up here. You need to learn from what's happening. And that way is what we should be doing. We should be learning our experiences. We should be thinking, has that helped me? Do I need to make the same mistakes over and over again? Question two is, what are my assets? Meaning, what have I got going for me? Have I got my health? Yes. Have I got my freedom? Yes. Am I still mentally sound? Not sure about that one. But yes, I am. Have I got friends? Some friends. Yes. Yay, I've got one. Good. Have I got the Lord? Yes. Have I got a church family? Yes. So what do I have that I can get a fresh start with? I've got that. I've got all my assets. I've got stuff there in places. And then question three, who can help me? Who can help you when you need a fresh start, or when I need a fresh start? We need somebody by our side. A friend, somebody that's accountable, an accountable partner that you can talk to, a supportive person, or a support group. You need to find somebody that can help you. And you need other people, because it's hard to start over by yourself after a major setback or crisis. It's very hard. And if you've been in that experience, you'll know what I mean. You need to have somebody that's there accountable, because if not, you could possibly just slip back. You need somebody that is willing to walk alongside you. And there is one that you can count on being there, helping you all the time to get a fresh start in life. And that's the Lord Jesus. He will be there. He will never let you down. He will always be by your side. He will help us to pull our lives back together and make sure that we get started on the right foot. So we're going to go to slide number 4. A, act in faith. So we've had all those things in the past, and this is now us moving forward. Okay, This is the third step in getting a fresh start. Act in faith. You have to launch out into new territory. The Bible says that the key to changing anything is faith. If you want to change your circumstances, it takes faith. If you want to change your personality, it takes faith and the Holy Spirit and God. If you want to change anything in your life, you have to have some faith. And in Matthew chapter 9, I'm not going to read it all, which I encourage you to read, because Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. Jesus heals the blind and the mute. And why? It's because of their faith. Jesus says in this chapter, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Okay? According to your faith, it will be done to you. And that's why these people were healed and raised from the dead. According to people's faith. That is a very simple statement, but it's very powerful. According to your faith, it will be done to you. And that means we tend to get out of life what we expect. So according to your faith, it will be done to you. What are you expecting in life? Are things going to be better or worse? Are they going to be the same? If you act in faith, then you will be doing something positive to ensure that you don't repeat the same mistakes over and over again. So you need to act in faith so that you don't repeat the same mistakes again. In order to start acting in faith, that means you've got to stop living in the past and regretting the past and get on with the present and the future. The more time we spend living in our past, the more of our future is wasted. Does that sound right? So the more you look at the back and what you've done in the past, you're wasting the future. You're wasting your future because you need to be moving forward. The more time you spend thinking, I wish that hadn't happened, or I wish I could change that, if only I could go back, reverse the clocks and redo history, you'll not only make yourself misery, all right, because you will get back being miserable, but you're setting yourself up for more of the same things in the future because you're always looking back. And whatever you focus on tends to repeat in your life. So remember what Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. That's, excuse me, sticky paper. I think what we need to do is to learn from the past and act in faith for the future. So as long as we learn from what we've done and from the past, then we can move forward in the future. We can have faith and look for God for guidance. Number four, with the letter R, it's refocus. I need to refocus my thoughts if I want to change my life. If I want to get going again, if I want a fresh start, I need to rethink the way. All right, I need to think in a different way. I need to change my mindset. I need to change my mind about a number of issues. I want to read this passage from Proverbs to you. It's chapter 4, verse 20. Let me just read it to you. If I can get a page. And it says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead.
Fix your gaze directly before you. Give carefully thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And I think those few verses are so important to our Christian life. If we live even by what is said here, then you will find a difference in your life. In verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And that includes your thinking. The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. Did that make sense? Yep. If you want to change your actions, just change the way you think, and it will certainly change the way you act. So, if you're depressed, I hope no one's depressed here, but we will pray afterwards if you are. If you're depressed, discouraged, and distressed, it may be because you're thinking about being depressed, discouraged, and you have distressing thoughts. But that's your choice. You don't have to think these thoughts. You can move on from them. And Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But how do I do that? The first step, is stop focusing on what you don't want to and start focusing on what you want to do. Get your attention onto something else. And what's the best thing to focus on? Any takers on this one? God's word. Okay. So in Psalms, it talks, happy are those who are always meditating on the word of God. They are like trees along a river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything that they do. Those are two things that everybody wants in life. We all want to be happy, do we? Yeah. And we all want to succeed, yeah? And the way to be happy and succeed is based on the word in the middle of this verse. Meditate on God's word. Okay? It says, happy are those who are always meditating on God's word. The more you meditate on God's word, the happier and more successful you'll be in your Christian life. And it's a promise from God. It's not what I'm saying. It's a promise from God. And if I can encourage people, I'm going to ask the music group to come up. The last letter is T. And one of the songs that we sang earlier was, there is strength in our sorrow. But one line we sang said, you're teaching us to trust. And the T in this one is trust. Trust God to help you succeed. Depend on him. Don't depend on yourself. Because in Zechariah, it says, not by my power, but my spirit, says the Lord. So it's not by my might, says, not by might or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, only by having the Spirit of the living God working in you. When somebody becomes a Christian, they become a brand new person inside. They put their trust in God. They are not the same anymore. A new life has begun. God specializes in new beginnings. Jesus Christ has the power to do that. It's called being born again, the chance to start over. We can have a fresh start and a new life as we begin this new year. God says, I don't want to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to give you a whole new life. So, Will you have a fresh start in life? Will you have a new beginning? It's your choice. How can I have a fresh start? I can have a fresh start by the last slide. Stop making excuses. Take a record of our lives. Act in faith. Refocus our thoughts and trust in God. And I hope that you'll take something away from this word that I feel God has given me, because it made me think about my own life. You want to share something? Is that right with Richard? Yeah? You don't want to. You do. Okay. Well, that's where I am finishing at the moment. So if you want to come, yeah?
Yeah, I've identified with so much what you talked about today, and one of the areas is my prayer life. I'm absolutely hopeless. You know, I'm sure none of you here have the same problem, but I am one of those victims of laziness, and I never pray very much, and when I do, it's usually because I want something, and that's the sort of general pattern. I've been a Christian a long while. I believe in God. I've got great faith. Anyway, something happened just before Christmas, probably Christmas Eve. I got a call from a friend, and she said a work colleague's brother was critically ill in hospital. He'd been taken down with a mystery virus, and they didn't know what it was, and, you know, things looked really bad. He's only 26 years old. I said, I'll pray. And then I'd set my heart on a long walk on Boxing Day. I love walking along the river around here. That's about the one place where I feel I can communicate with God. And I decided to do that anyway. So I thought, right, on this walk, I'll pray about this critically ill person. It's the infection had just gone to the brain. They were unconscious. They were on a life support system. And, you know, beforehand, I said, well, I'm going to pray about it, and hopefully God will do something. I didn't have a great deal of faith about it, but I thought, right, on my walk, I am going to pray. I'm really going to pray that this person is healed, which is not a strong, really am, they're going to get healed. So I walked around there, and I actually started praying in the Spirit, which I haven't done for a long, long time. It's a beautiful day. I felt really at peace with God. And I've got it on my phone now. I got a text. Some bad news. I'm afraid his kidneys have failed. He's on dialysis. If he does survive, then he's going to have a kidney transplant. I phoned up. I said, well, I'm going to carry on praying anyway. So I carried on praying. And then 2 days after, he came out of the coma, still critically ill. They didn't know what caused it. And I've just had a text this morning to say that he's coming home tomorrow, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with his kidneys now. So I have to put that down to my God.
Well, let's just pray anyway. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we ask that you will change us, that you'll make a new start in our lives. Father, we thank you for the miracles that you do. We thank you for the miracles of this gentleman that Richard's just been talking about. We thank you that miracles are still happening, and they can happen in our own lives today. We don't need to read about them. They can work today in our lives. Father, we ask that you will do a new miracle in us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We will take tithes and offerings while the rain.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.